Let us open God's holy word to the book of Hebrews. We will look at chapter 12, the verses 1 and 2, or rather we will read the verses 1 and 2 from Hebrews chapter 12, really with the context of Hebrews 11 in mind. Hebrews 11 is that great chapter that speaks of the things that God's people have done by faith throughout history, especially here in the Old Testament, of how they walked by faith and did many mighty things. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, is the living word of the living God. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, show us the Lord Jesus Christ and bid us, urge us, to look upon the Lord Jesus Christ together. Teach us by your Spirit, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We read the Apostles' Creed earlier, and the catechism that we have arrived at speaks about the Holy Catholic Church. And so there's a little asterisk that speaks about what that means. And so tonight, we will look at this in short and then see how we can apply this. So what do we mean by believing in the Holy Catholic Church? After all, we don't believe in the Roman Catholic Church, but we believe in the Holy Catholic Church. Well, in the year 107, the Church Father Ignatius wrote, "Wherever Jesus Christ is, there is the Catholic Church." And this is the oldest record of the term Catholic Church, which was recorded in a letter to the church at Smyrna. Ignatius wasn't speaking about the church in Rome, but about the Catholic Church, or translated, the universal church. It refers to that worldwide church that is not bound by time or place, that group of people in which Jesus Christ lives. The Catholic Church in the Apostles' Creed does not refer to a building or a denomination or a hierarchical structure, but to the followers of Jesus Christ throughout the ages. For wherever Jesus Christ is, there is the Holy Catholic Church. The Apostles' Creed, the Catechism, and Scripture is not interested here in identifying denominations, but identifying true believers in the Lord Jesus. That is the Holy Catholic Church, who have been born again into the Lord Jesus. Through the Word and the Spirit, they've become a member of this group that God is gathering, and they have been set apart for God. And through the Holy Spirit, they have become a holy universal church before God. Which brings me, as I believe to have seen your eyes, you've already seen the verse, the word, is the question and answer of the catechism above my head, which says this: "What do you believe concerning the Holy Catholic Church?" "I believe that the Son of God, through his Spirit and Word, out of the entire human race, from the beginning of the world to its end, gathers, protects, and preserves for himself a community chosen for eternal life and united in true faith. And of this community, I am and always be a living member." So it speaks about God looking out of the over humanity, and out of that he gathers, protects, and preserves a group, a community of people chosen for eternal life, whose unity is their true faith in Christ. And those in it are living members of that church. So the Bible has a lot to say about the church, but I want to focus on tonight is the church as the true family of God throughout the ages. To see the church as a family of believers that are connected by this faith, The group of people that God has gathered and will gather out of mankind to run the race of faith to him. And so tonight, I want us to see through Hebrews 11 and 12 how God uses this church throughout the ages to help believers in our day to continue on running together with that group that has already gone before us. So to bring that together visually is all throughout from Adam until today, God has been bringing in his people, and the universal church is that group which God collects and gathers together. But our blessing is that we were not born at the beginning, but we're born today. And so we have a record of faith that is written down in Hebrews chapter 11 of a group of people that have gone before us and has basically treaded the path before us so that we know in what way to run, what is possible in the Christian life, and what our family of faith really looks like. Hebrews 11 is not a record of the heroes of faith, so to speak, but really of the family of faith in which we have entered in and follow them. And so, above all, the Catholic Church is the people whose hearts have been opened to see and trust and run towards the invisible God. A people who walk by faith and not by sight. A people whose home and hope is not in this world, but in heaven. A people who live for that which is invisible and eternal, rather than that for which is visible and temporal. So if you think about that, we are a different people than the people in the world, right? The people in the world live for that which is visible and temporal, but we live for that which is invisible and eternal. Hebrews 11 is the record of an Old Testament group of believers that is part of this universal church. Old Testament believers who were gathered, protected, and preserved by God for himself. They have run the race successfully and now have become the witnesses to us. We are surrounded by people like Moses and Elijah and the prophets and all these men that are examples for us to look at and see, well, that's what it means for me to live my life on this world. When you read these records of these men of old, these men who trusted God in the midst when everything seemed the wrong way. Take Moses, right? Who are you going to choose? You're going to choose the riches of Egypt, or you're going to choose to be suffering with the people of God? We come to that too. We live in our lives. Am I going to live for the temporary riches of this world, or am I going to suffer for the people of God? And then we look at Moses and we say, aha, that's what it means to be a Christian. I follow in the same way of Moses, and I am strengthened by his example. There's a witness that comes to us that gives, by his example in life, a witness how I am to live my life. And so when you read the Old Testament, you're really reading a record of witnesses of how you and I are to live our life today. And so Hebrews 12 then builds upon this record of faith and tells the New Testament church to imitate those who have gone before us, so that one day the Holy Catholic Church will be united before the throne of God in heaven, where we will all have written on our hearts and in our history the record of living by true faith. And so to unpack this, I want to do three things tonight. I first want to show the impossible race of the Christian life, or the impossible race of faith. Secondly, the incredible cloud of witnesses, and where else to conclude but the invaluable navigator, which is, of course, our Lord. Let's begin with this race of faith. In the New Testament, the church is always identified as a group of people who is completely dependent on God. Have you ever considered that? The church is a people who is first and foremost completely dependent on God in its entire mission. If you say, well, the mission of the church of God is to reach the world with the gospel and then to cause the people to grow in this gospel and to grow up in faith, both of these things are entirely dependent upon God's power. Your life as a Christian is entirely dependent upon God. A people who cannot trust in their own strength, their own knowledge, their own wisdom, but a people who relies completely upon God. The Christian life is impossible to live by our own strength, for it's a life of following God. And Jesus only did what he saw the Father doing, right? When he lived on the earth, he did not live a life like other people. He lived and he said what he saw the Father saying. He did what he saw the Father doing. And so the Christian life is the same kind of life. It's not living by what our eyes can see, but living what God speaks to us and how his Holy Spirit leads us into living in this world, a life of faith. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7 says this, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." We walk by faith and not by sight. Paul says we don't live by the things we see with our eyes. Our reality and the way we base our life upon and our decisions upon and our thoughts upon, we plan our future, and all of that is not based upon what we see with our eyes. We don't go in the direction that we think our eyes have analyzed. We go in the direction of faith. We trust in God, and so by trusting in God, we are led by the Spirit rather than what our eyes tell us. That is the evidence of every single man here in Hebrews. The eyes say this one, but we believe in God and we go the way that faith drives us and leads us. And so we live by the conviction of God, by seeing what is unseen, by as we come to life by the Spirit of God, we have a new heart, a new nature in us. We have the Spirit coming to speak and lead us into a way that is contrary to the flesh. And so we walk by the Spirit. The Christian life is a life that is dependent in its success upon the power of God. I've put this in my life ever since I just came to know the Lord, and it's this phrase that has often been repeated in my thinking, and it's this: if you could live your life by your own strength, Paul, you're not living the Christian life, right? Because our life is dependent upon the Spirit of God. God calls us to walk in a supernatural life. It doesn't mean that you float over the air, but if everything that happens in your life is what you can do by your own power, then we don't need the Spirit of God. And so I need to always pray, God, for more of your Spirit. I want to live a supernatural life, a life of faith that trusts on God rather than my own eyes. God calls us to live holy lives. But in ourselves, we don't have any strength to live a holy life. Do you have strength in your own life to live holy? You need the supernatural Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, to live a holy life. God calls us to be conformed to Him. That is, when we see Him, we are being transformed in the renewing of our mind, 2 Corinthians and many other passages. But you cannot see Him. You need the Holy Spirit of God to teach your heart to see Christ so that your eyes can be fixed upon heaven, see Him, and then be transformed. You need a supernatural revelation day after day of seeing Christ better and knowing Him better, and then you're going to be changed day after day. You need the Holy Spirit. You need to live by faith even for the smallest change in your life that is from God. You're constantly dependent upon God. God calls us to fight with and to overcome the powers of darkness. You're called to withstand and to fight back and to stand forward and overcome the power of Satan and the demons and all power of darkness that is thrown at you and that shoots its arrows. You are called to stand up and not be overcome by that. Can you do that by the eyes of the flesh? Do you know where the eyes, where the arrows are flying from? Not at all. You are completely dependent on walking by faith to overcome the manipulations of darkness in your life. And I could go on and on, right? I hope you get a feel for the things we're speaking about. We're speaking about realities of the Christian life of which we are completely and totally dependent upon God. And we haven't even spoken about going into the world and reaching the world with the gospel to a people that hates the gospel and hates the God of the gospel and loves their sin. And we are supposed to persuade men to turn from the sin they love towards the God they hate? You can't do that. You need to live by faith to do any of that, to trust God and to believe in God, to call out to Him to help and to strengthen you in every day of your life as you walk through this life, to constantly call upon the name of the Lord to help and strengthen you in every detail of your life. And then trust that when you speak to a friend or a family member, that the words which you say, God would use to change and transform a soul into eternal salvation. That's living by faith, trusting God. The entire Christian life is impossible to live in your own strength. Every step of the way, we need the Holy Spirit to strengthen us. We need to live by faith. And so, as an antidote to the impossibilities that we see, we need the Spirit of God to open our eyes and see the possibilities of faith. Do you see the possibilities of faith? I'm afraid sometimes we've become so physically minded because we surround ourselves with so many voices, so many temporal, physical voices. We fill our lives with so much of this world and all the impossibilities. And so we get this mindset of all the things that are impossible and all the things that are breaking down and falling apart. And all we do is hear and speak about all the physical realities that our faith shrinks smaller and smaller. We need God to open our eyes again today to see the possibilities of God. It's not enough to write and subscribe to a God who is omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent. It's not enough. We must begin to see and to be filled with faith in God, to be filled that God can do mighty things in our world today if we trust in Him. And this is why Hebrews 11 comes before Hebrews chapter 12. It is impossible to run with endurance the race that is set before us without understanding the power and life of faith. You see that? You have this long list of Hebrews 11. It's a wonderful chapter, but it's long. I mean, after 4 or 5, we got the idea, right? Okay, there's many people, and he could have just summarized the rest with, okay, there's many other people that live by faith. The reason why it's not is because you and I need the whole list. And I think it's a list to bring us back into the Old Testament and read it and read it and read it. Why? Because we need to run the race with endurance that is set before us, and we need to have our eyes visibly seeing and by faith understanding that all these people ran and ran and ran, but not in their own strength, but by faith. So that every one of these examples begin to speak to your life and impart in your life new areas where you can live and walk by faith and trust in God. You see that? They're all like puzzle pieces for your heart to be set in place so that you see all these areas of faith where they trusted in God, and you begin to replace this old puzzle piece in your own heart that says, this is impossible. Take that out and throw it away and look at God's word of what God can do and put that into place and say, with God, it's possible to trust in God. What God did in Hebrews 11 is amazing, because the Christian life is amazing. You believe that? Oh, many of you believed it once, but over time we might have become so, as we all have a tendency to look away from Hebrews 11 and to look more at our own circumstances and to look at our own circumstance and begin to calculate what's possible. Faith never calculates. Faith trusts in God and looks upon God and asks God. We calculate. The flesh calculates. The eyes calculate. The mind calculates. But faith trusts in God. So, the question is, how do we learn to live by faith? How do Christians grow in faith and learn to live more and more by faith? Well, the answer in the author of Hebrews is this, in Hebrews 12, verse 1 and 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin, which clings so easily, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. God has given two means to grow in faith. Did you see that? Two means, and they're connected. First of all, he has given us a great cloud of witnesses. And secondly, has given us the Lord Jesus Christ to look and to follow. This great cloud of witnesses stands and surrounds us. And it says this, right? We are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Therefore, let us lay aside all these things. You have all these men that stand around you and that show what it means to live by faith. So therefore, throw off all the ballast and run. Well, what direction? Run towards the Lord Jesus Christ. Fix your eyes upon him, focus on him, and run. That's the meaning of the passage. So let's look at this incredible cloud of witnesses. I wish that I would be able to read and preach on this entire chapter just one by one and going through it, but I think it would take us a long time, so I chose to summarize it from the verses 33 to 38, which is kind of the end of the chapter, which it's been the engines of strength have been going slowly at the beginning, and there's an introduction to what faith is, and then the first example, and the next example, and the next example, and then it keeps rolling and rolling, and here we enter into the part where we're full steam ahead, and we see this overwhelming adding up of what faith can do. Who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead from dead by resurrection. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release, so they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were killed with the sword. They went about and skinned sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy. Wandering about in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. The author of Hebrews says, this is your family. This is the people you belong to. This is the record of the cloud of witnesses that stands, by which you must compare your lives, by which you must be motivated to run in the same way. It's amazing, isn't it? Because what we see here are some of these things, like, yeah, I'd be happy to do those things. And other things, like, well, I mean, not those things necessarily. But these things always go together, right? Because if you look with your eyes, and you walk not by faith, but by your mind, by your own flesh, what you're going to happen is this. Nothing great is going to happen, but no great harm will come to you. That's living in the flesh. If God will not move through you, because you don't live by faith, and at the same time, no harm will come to you, because you cause no danger to the powers of darkness. Right? But in the life of faith, hard things will come on your path. You will suffer hardships, but at the same time, God will do supernatural work through you. You'll be alive because you're in the midst of a war fighting the powers of darkness. If you live outside on another continent, you don't know what war is. Like, we don't know. We see the war on television of Russia invading Ukraine. We can see it from a distance, but we're not part of it. But if you were part of it and you were a soldier in the midst of it, you would be pushing back the forces of darkness, but you would also suffer hardship and pain. And that's the idea of the Christian life. We live in a world, in a war zone, in this world. And if you live by the flesh, you basically step out of the war. But if you live by faith, you're right at the edge and at the center of this war. And so what you will have is you will have hardships, but at the same time, you will see the power of God working through you. And so, this is God's illustration of the Christian life painted by his brush of human lives throughout the history of the Catholic Church. This is what your life is supposed to be like. What my life is supposed to be like, our family resemblance painted in full color. Their lives are an encouragement to true believers, for this is the life the Holy Spirit calls us to imitate. The Old Testament people of faith served as an example so that we might walk in the same way. I know of a pastor who said whenever he read this chapter, he would fall on his knees and weep. These are people of whom the world was not worthy. I think it should have that effect on us. We see this not with a distant idea of, well, look at those people over there, but that it stirs up our hearts and make us say, God, let me live like this. I want to be alive. Open my eyes, take my eyeballs out of the flesh and place them so that I might walk by the Spirit and fix my eyes upon God and no longer be afraid of the things of this world which is passing away with all its glory, but to have my eyes fixed upon the kingdom of God and might run with Him. You see that? These are the people who surround us like a great cloud of witnesses. Can you imagine if you come to church on Sunday morning and there's a group of men standing around us and we ask them, well, who are you? Oh, I'm Daniel. Daniel who? The Daniel you're reading. So tell us, what do you have to say? Well, look at what God did in my life. You know, when I was thrown, my friends were thrown in the fire. Fires didn't touch us, didn't touch me, because God was with us. You remember when I was thrown in the lion's den? That's not an old story somebody made up. I was actually thrown in the midst of these lions, and because God said, no lion shall eat you, the lions, all they did was look at me. The whole night. Next morning, I was taken out, and other men were thrown in. Before they hit the ground, they were killed because of God. Wow, Daniel standing around. Well, who are you? Well, I'm Moses. Moses who? Moses from Scripture. What can you tell us about how we ought to live our lives? Oh, most certainly, let me show you from your own Bible that you have right in front of you. When I stood by the waters and God said, raise the staff over the waters, and these waters parted and formed walls, and we walked through it. And then we look back wondering what the Egyptians are going to do, and they start marching in, and then the waters plunged and it killed everyone. Don't be afraid. When God is with you, you are mighty. That's the idea here, right? These witnesses, they don't audibly speak to us, but their lives, their example, are a cloud of witnesses surrounding us. What it means to have faith in God. The idea of the text is this. Imagine yourself in a great stadium, the stadium we will call the stadium of faith, and you're part of a race. Now, before you, there were many champions of faith who ran their race and finished it. And they're done, and they're sitting on the stands. They're all around the stadium, and here you go. And you're running. And as you look at the people on the side, they tell you, run, keep running, you can do it, keep running, run. Because as a little boy or a little girl, you grow up looking with your eyes and seeing all these champions of faith running. And so they encourage you and they say, as we ran, you can finish it because you have been given the same legs that we had when we ran the race. You've given the same strength, so keep going. Don't tire down. Keep going. That's the picture. Surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. The church of all the ages is not a passive idea. It's the family of God, past, present, and future, that is helping the people of the past, this generation, by their example, to help us finish the race to Emmanuel's land, to walk by the power and the Spirit of God. True Christians are connected to those who have gone before them. And so our lives bear the family resemblance of those who lived in the past, so that we might run by the same Spirit. Let me ask you a question. Do you have the same God as Daniel? You have the same God as Elijah or Moses or David? You think that God's hand has weakened over the years? The opposite. What it's saying is this: we are called to run in the same way that they ran, trusting and relying upon God. And our world needs a church, a generation of people who live by the Spirit of God and trust in the same God of old. You see that? It is not enough to come here just to rely upon your own, hopefully that you will go to heaven one day. That is not the Christian life. The Christian life is running in the same way that God's people have always run, by faith and not by sight, trusting in the might and the power of God, and by that God honoring that and responding to that by moving mighty and powerful work in this world. You see that? Your children need to see parents that live by faith. Your grandchildren need to see grandparents that trust in the almighty power of God. They need to see it. And here God says, walk by faith, because I have many mighty works to do, not in your strength. Don't get this idea and you start pumping your muscles. Okay, I'm really going to do it now. No. Just read the Bible and believe what it says. Then you believe, because it says that faith comes through hearing, and hearing comes through the Word of God. And so we can extend this to the apostles themselves, right? Aren't they a cloud of witnesses surrounding us. Peter and Paul and John and all the other men who stood up in the midst of a world that had crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. They went forth by the power of God and preached the gospel so that the gospel began to fill the world. And people were saved from every nation, every generation, sins. The same for believers in the past 2,000 years. They stand around us like a cloud of witnesses who walked by faith and not by sight. And even believers today who live by faith, help us to live by faith. Paul said when he was going to visit the Romans, he says, I would love to come and visit you that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to you, that you may be strengthened. That is, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. Paul was saying, when I get together, we are a witness of faith towards each other. When we get together on Sunday morning, it's so short, isn't it? You might feel it's long, but it's short. We walk out of church. We don't run out in a car and go home. We bear witness to each other about the faith that God has placed in our heart. That's the whole purpose of brothers and sisters getting together, sharing spiritual gifts to strengthen one another, so that as you speak to me by faith, my faith increases. I speak to you, and so together we grow up in faith and walk by faith and not by sight. You see that? That's the church, a family of faith. We learn from the past and we learn from each other. Well, I have many things here to say, but I see my time is against me. So, dear brothers and sisters, we must surround ourselves always by men and women of faith. Men and women who have the same spiritual DNA as the brothers and sisters in Hebrews 11. Men and women who stir us up in faith. Don't you surround yourself by people who live after the flesh, unless you want to share the gospel or exhort them to come back to walk. Don't learn from people who love this world more than God. If you make friends for life, don't make friends who love to talk about everything temporary. Make friends for the good of your own spiritual life who love the eternal. And if you have surrounded yourself with people that only love temporal things, you need to find a new group of friends, because this race of Christian faith is hard enough as it is. You don't need people to hang all kinds of ballast on you to slow you down. You need to find people who motivate you to run freely and run with faith. Don't learn from people who reason according to what their eyes can see, because it would only discourage you. It would turn you away from Christ and trusting in Him. It will turn you to look at the temporary things and you'll be full of anxiety, full of lust, or whatever else. Surround yourself by brothers and sisters who walk by faith. Believers whose spiritual fellowship will encourage you to lay aside every weight of sin, or every weight and sin which clings so closely. People, when you meet each other, you begin to run more freely. You begin to, after fellowship with them, and this is how you recognize it. When you walk with brothers and sisters who live by faith, this is what happens. You walk with them and you have time with them, you spend time with them, and when you're done in the conversation, you walk home with the joy of the Lord in your heart, and you say, I don't care about this world. I want to run for Christ. I want to reach the world. I want to see what God can do in this life of mine. That's fellowship in Christ. Now, don't feel as though you need to be a Christian who has walked with the Lord and served Him in 16 different countries and has done all kinds of things. No, if you have come to faith last week and you're you're a baby Christian, You can have fellowship with the oldest believer and build him up. You know why? Because you point the other person to the Lord Jesus Christ and to faith and the things that are eternal. It's not about the intellect or about how wonderfully deep things you can say. If you meet, no matter what age in the Christian life, if you meet a brother or sister who walks by faith, you grow closer to God. Be that man to your friends or that woman. Which brings me to my last point, the invaluable navigator. Ultimately, the church is the group of people throughout the ages who has their eyes fixed upon Jesus. It says, let us run looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. See how he endured the cross. Despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. God surrounds believers with other believers to the point to help them point in the right direction. But the strength to run comes from the Lord Jesus Christ himself. There's only one way to finish the race of faith, and it's by looking to Jesus. We understand the power of God and the love of God will only come when we look at Jesus Christ and what he has done on the cross. To look at his heart, his life, his life. It's when we look at Jesus that we understand who he is. It's when we see Jesus that sins become vile and it loses all its attraction. It's when we look to Jesus that we lay aside every earthly distraction and run in the will of God. Fix your eyes upon Jesus. All the time. And every time again and again. Begin your morning fixing your eyes, the eyes of your heart upon the Lord Jesus Christ, saying, Lord, where do we go today? What is your will today? Teach me more. Show me how to love. Show me how to live. Show me how to parent. Show me how to help my friends. How to be a good spouse. Teach me to suffer like you suffered. Teach me to walk like you walked. Jesus' life, an example, is the ultimate definition of the Christian life. Who for the joy that was set before him. Do you live your life because of the joy that is set before you in heaven? That is the motivation, starting point of the Christian life. The end goal is the joy that was set before Christ, and it is the joy that is set before us. And for that, we are willing to do whatever it takes. It is therefore, despise the shame, as Christ endured the cross and now is seated at the right hand of God. Endure the cross Jesus has given us in the world. Jesus says, whoever wants to follow me must take up his cross and follow me. We all have a cross to carry, a suffering to bear. We all have a measure of suffering, for we live as exposing lights in a dark world. Let us look to Christ and bear the sufferings that God has placed upon us as faithful servants of the living God. Let us run without slowing down, fulfilling the ministry that God has given us, doing the work that he does through us, bearing the suffering and completing the task that God has placed upon you and me. For in the end, there's joy. We're headed, if you're in Christ, you're headed towards joy. Secondly, we must despise the shame the world brings to us. Let us despise the shame we bear in this world. Let us not worry about what others say. Let us not get sidetracked when people seek to hinder our work. Let us not be discouraged when people hate us or throw things at us or say all kinds of evil things against us, but let us persevere, despising the shame. When shame comes to your heart and says, now I'm going to slow you down in this race of faith. I'm going to make you stop saying these things that make people despise you, that put shame on you. We look at shame and we say, who are you? I will put you down. I will not be afflicted by the shame that is brought upon me, but I will run. And finally, we must keep running until the day we are home, until the day we arrive in our Father's home. Let us persevere. I know all of us have different gifts. Some of us are old and some of us are young. You all have your own work before the Lord. For some of you, it's prayer and sharing with your grandchildren or your great-grandchildren. For others, it's going out and stand on the street until rotten tomatoes paint your shirts. For others, it's the pouring out of tears for the brokenness that you see around you until God moves in. You all have different gifts, and I don't know what God has placed in your life, and I don't know what it means in your life to live by faith. But I know this, when you call upon the name of the Lord and seek Him with all your heart, He will do things that you cannot do in your own strength through you. And so do not slow down, old saint. Do not slow down, young believer, but run. Fix your eyes upon Christ. Remember the cloud of witnesses. And don't run until you hear the words, well done, you good and faithful servant. And then you can take a break. Then you can rest when God gives you rest. May God bless you and strengthen you. Let us pray. The Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the church, that group of people, that family of God that you have called out of the world and set together to run with endurance the race that is set before them, not in their own strength, but by looking to the Lord Jesus Christ, living by faith, not by sight or the power of their flesh. Father, I pray that you would help and strengthen us to speak to one another words of faith, to help one another grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.